Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to Reflections on this third Sunday of Advent, Year B. Our readings today, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4 and 8 to 11, Psalm 126, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24, and the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8 and 19 to 28. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise Him. The Lord is here and we will worship Him. The Lord is here and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we do not come as guests, but as members of Your family. We do not come in fear, but with joy and thanksgiving. We do not come alone, but with all Your people of every age and in every place. Lord, we come as Your family, for You are our Heavenly Father, and Christ is our brother, our Savior, and Lord. Amen. Sovereign Lord, You are the God of grace, and You are the King of all creation. We seek Your presence. We pray for ourselves and for Your people everywhere. May our words and thoughts, our hymns and our prayers bring You glory. May we so worship You here that our songs of praise will bring joy to the world and hope of freedom to many through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. We pray the collect for the third Sunday of Advent, followed by our parish prayer. Stir up Your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, Let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Spirit of the Lord. A study of the Old Testament reveals that the Lord would equip those who had a special task to perform. They were usually anointed and therefore set aside for the task and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we see prophets, priests, and kings were usually anointed and set apart. For example, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, "The Lord has anointed you ruler over his people Israel. You shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their enemies all around. Now, this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you ruler over his heritage." Saul, therefore, received the gift of the Spirit of God to guide and direct him in his task. When David was still a boy, the prophet Samuel was sent to anoint him as king over Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, we read, "When Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day forward." The Spirit of the Lord will be David's constant companion, giving him the authority and ability to rule over God's people on God's behalf. The Spirit of God enables those chosen by God to do the tasks that God has set before them. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 to 4, part of our Old Testament reading today, "The Lord God has anointed the speaker with the Spirit to enable him to carry out all the tasks that God desires him to do. These include the actions of bringing, binding up, proclaiming, releasing, comforting, providing, and giving. The beneficiaries of these actions are the poor, the powerless, the oppressed, and the marginalized." He's also to declare the year of the Lord's favor. The year is the Jubilee year, from Leviticus 25, verse 10 and following, which occurs every 50 years, a year when debts were cancelled, slaves were freed, and all land that had been sold reverted to its original ancestral line of ownership. The servant in Isaiah had the task of restoration and hope to do for God. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, receive the Spirit of God at his baptism. Luke records in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, that when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." After his period of temptation in the wilderness, where he was guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee. At the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath, Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Luke chapter 4, verses 16b to 19. Jesus set out the task that he was called to undertake for the Father. The task that his disciples, those whom he would choose to follow him, will also carry out in every age and every place where they would be found or sent. Jesus set the standards for those who would follow him. He gave those who were emotionally and spiritually poor the good news of God's salvation in love. To those who were materially poor, he gave the good news that they should not worry what they will eat, or what they will drink, or what they will wear. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus proclaimed release for all who were captive by sin, and as a result, captive to death. Eternal death. He gave all an example of godly living, inviting all to have a father-child relationship with the God who is Father, and died that we might be forgiven of our sins. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews affirmed, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Jesus not only opened the eyes of the physically blind, he opened the eyes of the spiritually blind. He would say to Nicodemus, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" And he goes on to explain to him that, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. John chapter 3, verses 10, 14, and 15. To those oppressed by the law, Jesus gave freedom from the law as he fulfilled the law and emphasized the two great commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus ensured that all who would follow him would have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says to his disciples, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. John 16, verse 13. Jesus, before he ascended to the Father, instructed his disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. He promised that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 5, and that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Verse 8. The disciples of Christ receive the Holy Spirit to enable them to do the task that God has set before them in every place and every age. St. Paul reminds Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. All the ingredients we need to be faithful disciples of Christ are present. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has endowed us with gifts to enable us to carry out our ministry in the world and in the church. If we allow ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit, we will demonstrate in our everyday interactions the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, verse 22. We have been called, equipped, and placed in God's vineyard to do our task for God. That is, to make disciples of all nations, to influence others to follow Christ. The question is, are we about our Heavenly Father's business? Are we approaching the task with the passion, dedication, and zeal of John the Baptist, who would identify himself with his task for God? When asked, "Who are you?" John replied, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Let us pray that we can with certainty say, "I am making disciples for Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit." The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear God, be kind to your little children. Be a gentle teacher, patient with our weakness and stupidity, and give us the strength and discernment to do what you tell us, and so grow in your likeness. May we all live in the peace that comes from you. May we journey towards your city, sailing through the waters of sin untouched by the waves, borne serenely along by the Holy Spirit. Night and day, may we give you praise and thanks, because you have shown us that all things belong to you, and all blessings are gifts from you. To you, the essence of wisdom, the foundation of truth, be glory forevermore. Amen. May God Almighty direct our days in his peace and grant us the gifts of his blessing. May he deliver us in all our troubles and establish our minds in the tranquility of his peace. May he so guide us through things temporal that we finally lose not the things eternal. Amen. May the strength of God pilot us. May the power of God preserve us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the shield of God defend us. May the host of God grant us, guard us against the snares of evil and the temptations of the world. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give another conk the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in that service, may God the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son, give you grace to prepare for eternal life. May God the Son, who comes to us as Redeemer and Judge, reveal to you the path from darkness to light. May God the Holy Spirit, by whose working the Virgin Mary conceived the Christ, help you bear the fruits of holiness. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, this day and always. Amen. Please continue to obey the regulations and be safe. Have a very rewarding, productive, and spiritually filled week. God's blessings.